then everything and only good will occur in my life. And if I happen to have stocks in the stock market, all my stocks will go up. And life, and my health will become perfect, and this will be perfect, and there won't be any difficulties. And when I'm walking down the street, it will rain on the other side of the street, not on the side that I'm walking on, unless I happen to be carrying a tulsi plant. Then it will also rain in that way. So we, obviously being silly about it, but there's a tendency to think that difficulties or reverses won't occur in life. And in fact, everyone in this world who is probably younger than 16 years old, there's a tendency to think like this, that life, when we're young, we're idealistic, perhaps we get married and we think that this is marriage is going to be like this and like this, and the kids or children are going to be all perfectly obedient and they'll all become great scientists or at least doctors, etc., etc. And but life doesn't treat us in that way. Not obviously, not just devotees, but everyone. This is the material world. So how to deal with this, especially as devotees? How to deal with this? So we're going to hear is disappointment, difficulty, distress, and disaster, the Srimad Bhagavatam's response to reverses in life. We're going to get some guidance from the Srimad Bhagavatam on how to deal with these unhappy, unfortunate, at times miserable, suffering elements of life. We're going to get some guidance in this way. But we're going to hear about it and to theoretically know what to do and to theoretically consider and to theoretically understand what is the right course of action. It actually has very, very little value. The value of theoretically understanding how to act is that we know what to do, but doing it and applying the principles to our life, that is the actual point. Of correct action. Hare Krishna. You're well, Amasaka. How was your mother? Just for the question on devotees, there's such a tendency to imagine how life's going to be, especially when one is young. And that imaginary, idealistic vision of what life to be, career, it is just imaginary. And the question is, well, how do we deal with life actually as it is, with what is at us? Bhagavatam gives guidance on this, and in my mind, this is one of the most important topics. Srimad Bhagavatam on how to respond to the reverses in life. We cannot control all of existence. We cannot control exactly what's going to happen to us. But we can deal with our responses. So the Bhagavatam gives us guidance on how to respond to the reverses in life. But, as we were just saying, that to know theoretically what correct action is helpful. But the real point is to apply it. And in applying what is theoretically correct, there it is the great challenge of life. So we're going to hear theory and we're going to have some practical, learn some practical techniques, etc., and we're going to try to set up as best as we can some things that will be very helpful in applying what the Bhagavatam's, what the point is of life, so that so that whatever happens to us, it moves us in the correct direction. So we're going to have some practical, I wouldn't want to call them exercises, but practical activities as well. But the only, from my side, one of the greatest problems that I've faced in this, in putting together this retreat, one of the greatest problems I've faced is somehow or another, we have to speak about this from beginning to end, from in Mataji's class tomorrow morning, then I give two classes, one in the late morning and one in the early afternoon, and then the next morning, and then it's over. So there's something that I'm going to ask you to do and try to emphasize to help me in my presentation, and also help you in your understanding what I want to say, and then practically practicing it and following the exercises that we're going to do, is that there's a lot I want to present. So it really will help if everyone comes on time. And it's really helpful if everyone happens to be awake when they're here. So and there's so much to absorb. And in my understanding, this is one of the most relevant topics for every devotee. Certainly it's relevant in my life. So please come on time. The schedule this time is quite intense, actually. It's more intense than usual. Do you have a copy of it? Raise your hand if you have a copy of the schedule. Okay, only me. I'm sure there are there's more than one copy around. But it begins at 6:30. No, that's tonight. Mangala Arti, 5 a.m., 5:30 Japa, 7 o'clock Guru Puja, Mataji's class, Jagatini Mataji's class, 7:30 to 8:45 approximately. And then there's prasadam, breakfast, at 8:45 or somewhere between 8:45 and 9. And then at 10:30, my class will begin. So that means there's not very much time, considering the eating that goes on. So what I suggest you do is that everyone try to take a little rest and not to curtail the socializing after eating a bit, and just go and take rest for 15 minutes or something like that, so that you're bright and fresh and on time for the class, because it begins at 10:30 and goes to 1 o'clock or at latest 1:15. 10:30. And then at 1:15 there's lunch. And then if you thought that the 9 o'clock breakfast and then 10:30 class is going to be difficult, listen to this. 1:15 lunch prasadam. 3:30 class. 3:30 to 6. Boy, that's 2.5 hours. But it's not all just listening. There's many activities in there. But again, after lunch, maybe you can just take a little rest for a few minutes. And please come on time. And please, again, be awake when you come. And then from 6 to 6:30, bit of a break. And then 6:30 to 8 o'clock, we'll have kirtan. It says on the schedule, Lila kirtan, but we'll just have kirtan. We'll have a deep kirtan where everyone can chant Krishna's names and pray to Krishna that they can be of service to him, which is, in one sense, the conclusion of the whole of the seminar. And then the next morning will be the same as the previous morning, then we'll end. So I assume everyone will get one of these schedules, and it will be posted. So please, 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 please come on time, and please be awake, and I think it's practical that everyone just rests a little after eating, so that one's energy isn't just involved in digesting food and because the energy has to be the brain and the ear and the heart and intuition all have to be awake. So, would you like to speak some about what you're going to speak about, or the four D's that we mentioned?
Yes. Okay. There it is. So, Hare Krishna, so nice to be here again and be with all the devotees, so many familiar faces, and it's just such a nice homely atmosphere here as well. So, when we were preparing this retreat, the four D's, I looked them up on the computer and got a precise definition for each one of them, which wasn't really so precise because they can only give you a synonym of something just as miserable to describe what that particular suffering is like. But one thing that struck me was that the word dis, D-I-S, which often comes first, it means something that is opposite of what you would expect. So you're hoping for something that's disappointing. It's the opposite. So when I first became a Hare Krishna devotee, I was very young. And when you first become a devotee, it's because you have some kind of an impression that is allowing you the inspiration to change or to improve your life. And so it was only many, many years later when something happened in my life that I wasn't at all satisfied with. I wanted a different result. Then I was reflecting how, in the beginning when I became a devotee, I was thinking that, just as Prabhu was saying, if I become a devotee, I'll have a very nice life because I'll stop doing bad things. I'll only be doing good things, and therefore any good things will come to me. And so my family will be nice. I'll always have enough money. My health will be nice. And after that, after this happy life of everything going nicely, then, as we used to think very simplistically, then I'll go back to Godhead. And what does that mean? That means then I'm going to be happy forever and ever and ever and ever. So all of a sudden I thought, you know, you're more of a materialist than the ordinary materialist. You formed a conception that you are only going to have happiness here as a result of your devotional activities, and it was going to go on forever. Forever and forever and ever, and you thought, this is a very good deal. It's a very good deal, isn't it? But actually, then we come to see as we go on in our life that these big problems, these four D's, as we call them, they occur. And sometimes it shakes people's faith. But actually what it is shaking is the initial conception of what I will get when I become Krishna's servant or devotee. So while we were coming here, I was thinking what to say, and I remembered once long ago, it was in America when we were living in Gita Nagari, we used to make puppet shows, and one afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, in the temple, we performed for the first time a puppet show of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj. And everybody loved it. And everybody became very happy. It was a very jolly afternoon. And we went home, and most people went home. And then late in the night, or maybe it was the next morning, we heard that there had been a terrible disaster that night. What had happened was that three or four of the men who were living on the farm, they were not married, I think, And they were in a very jolly mood after the other show, and they had decided to go shooting in the forest. They would just go up to the clearing up some distance away, and they would just shoot at the trees or something. I don't know what they were doing. So they went up on a tractor to get to the place, and they were having a very good time. Then they were returning, and when they were returning, also in good spirits, something went wrong, some problem, and the tractor tipped over. And two of them fell out, but one of them fell underneath the tractor. And so the tractor was landed on top of this other devotee. And they couldn't get him out. And he wasn't very severely injured, except that there was acid from the battery that was leaking on his body, and it was causing him great pain. So they had to call for the local police, and it was in the night, and it took a very long time. It was very cold. So many inconveniences. They were all very upset. And in the morning when we spoke to him, when he had been brought out of that difficult situation, he commented that while he was lying underneath the tractor in the cold, in the dark, waiting for some help, he kept remembering the puppet show of Dhruva Maharaj, because it had just come in his experience, and he kept remembering that and remembering Dhruva Maharaj's determination. So I thought afterwards that it was quite amazing that even though he was about to do a silly thing and have some difficulty, by Krishna's kindness, he had something in his memory that he could meditate upon during that difficult time. Another experience of difficulty that I was also remembering when thinking of these four unexpected, what you didn't expect type of situations, was when I was living in Vrindavan. And we went out to visit some holy places one afternoon, and we were returning to the temple, and we had our taxi, and we were coming back from visiting these different places, feeling very peaceful. And just as we were driving up to the temple, we decided to wait a few minutes to talk in the taxi and share some reflections. And meanwhile, a lot of screaming and shouting occurred, just in the temple itself. And when we finally got out of the taxi and went inside the temple, we heard that the guards, for some complex reason, had had some kind of a strike, and they had become very violent, and they had taken sticks, and they were beating people, including devotees. So my first impression was, how fortunate that I was to sit in that taxi for 10 minutes longer, so that I would have just walked in the door where this took place and would have been beaten. So how fortunate I was that I didn't actually get out of the taxi and walk in the door. But now, many, many, many years later, I think, why didn't I think, but what about those who did get beaten? What about them? Perhaps I now, being more mature, may feel some sadness seeing others suffer. I may not be suffering, but others might be. This is also a cause of distress. So I'm going to share with you in the Bhagavatam classes an exemplary response to suffering. Now, just imagine if this was a Hindi movie. And for those who are not from India, if they have never seen a Hindi movie, it's a little melodramatic. So here is the plot. This gentleman is very powerful, he's a landowner. And he goes out one day just looking around his property. And all of a sudden, due to hunger, he gets very angry, unusually angry. And he makes a big mistake. He insults someone. He assaults them. And then their family hear about it. And when the family hear that there's been an insult made to their family, they curse this landowner, and their curse is very bitter. They curse him, and they have the power to actually execute a curse. They curse him to die in 1 week in a horrible, painful way. Now that's pretty dramatic, isn't it? It's a very unexpected situation, and also a situation that's very extreme. So we are not in such extreme situations. Neither can we quite imagine ourselves being in such extreme situations. But we want to sometimes have an experience or remember our experiences of suffering, because they're very important in our advancement in spiritual life. So sometimes suffering, when it occurs, it's a very valuable time to actually try to experience or put into application something that you need to know or you need to be able to apply if you want to be successful in your life or in your spiritual life. So I've prepared a couple of classes for the early Bhagavatam class, and I hope that we can go into this theme a little more deeply. And one last thing, reminding in relation to the story of the devotee, foolish devotee who ended up under the tractor, I'm always thinking that the most valuable thing that I can get, and therefore what that I can give, or that we can give or receive, is a moment, even just a moment, where a certain point that we hear, it goes right in. It goes right past all our thinking and distracting elements, and it goes right and it penetrates in such a way that we'll never forget that moment, that thought, that experience for the rest of our life. So this is what we are looking for or aspiring for when we go on retreat, when we hear the Bhagavatam, when we're together. But these moments are generally very, very rare. So we've come here for a concentrated time to try to achieve something that we can take with us for the rest of our lives. Hare Krishna. So nice to be here.
Who has the books? Because we have books to give all the participants. Are they okay? How many do we have? 55. Yes. Maybe we should. We'll be reading from them during the classes, and there is maybe we'll just wait till tomorrow before we give them out. Yes. Anyone have any questions at this point? The particular doesn't look like there's any questions, so I'll just say that the three classes that I'll be giving are, one is explaining the essential cause of suffering, and in understanding the essential cause of our suffering, in the material world, then the essence of the solution, we'll speak about that in the first class. And the second class will be the mentality that we, if we adopt this mentality, or to the extent we can adopt this mentality, that will inspire perfection within us. And then the third class is it's all practical in one sense, but the third class is more into practical advice and practice on how to deal with answering some of the tricky questions, or the questions that come to my mind when in a difficult situation. So it's going to be the third class is, they'll all have practical things in it, but the third class is especially geared towards the practical. Now, to give you a hint about the essence of the topic, I would like to show a little slideshow, and then I'll speak about it after. And do you have the right one? And do we have the sound? Because this one has sound. I think if we turn off the lights, Arjuna Sakapu, can you see all right? Oh, I wanted to say something about the slideshow. There's photographs that I took in it just around Perth, but at the very end, there's two excerpts, and you'll recognize them very easily, from a visit I recently took, a visit that I recently made to Christchurch, New Zealand. And Christchurch, New Zealand is quite an interesting devotional community. Because they had a temple there, and they had wonderful, wonderful deities, Nittai Gaurachandra, that were quite amazing deities. They were Gaurachandra that was so powerful and so much tasting the sweetness of this of chanting and being in the spiritual world. It was so contagious and wonderful. And then one day, there was an earthquake, and the temple didn't fall down, but the deities did. And the temple was so damaged that they could no longer use it as a temple. And the deities were gone. So such a difficult situation, because a temple is a center. It's where all the devotees gather around the deities to chant, to hear about Krishna. But how does a community deal with a situation when there's no longer a center anymore? Because the temple is the center. So this community went into difficulty, because without a center, everyone tends to sort of disperse and go off on their own. And without deep and concentrated hearing and chanting and association of devotees, then just one goes off on one's own. So what we did when we were there this time, and they're in the process of building their new temple, or getting the approvals to build the temple, by the way. But it's such an interesting experience talking about disasters, and to be, because I visited them after the earthquake. But after an earthquake, there's what they call aftershocks. So one big earthquake comes, and then for the next, it went on for 2 or 3 years. There were, on many days, there were 100 or 200 smaller earthquakes during the day. And it's such a disturbing circumstance, because we have a concept of what reality is. So our concept of reality is, I take a step and the ground's always going to be there. I walk inside my house and I'm home and it's secure. But when you're in a place where there's constantly earthquakes, you're in a house and you're talking to someone, and suddenly the walls start shaking like this, going back and forth, and the ground starts shaking, the floor starts shaking. It disturbs one's view of what is real, what you can actually rely on in this world. So the devotees has been through this for years. So what we did in this last visit to Christchurch, because there was no center, we got a bus. Devotees organized a bus. And then we went and visited 10 houses in one day of the devotees. It was a small bus. It's a relatively small community. But there were probably 25 devotees who came on the bus. And then when we go visit from one house to the next, we all chanted the whole time on the bus. And that was it was actually so wonderful. And after a while, by the time the sixth, you'd be tired, but the kirtans were so sweet and so powerful, and then you'd walk into someone's house and they would greet you and give you a little bit of prasadam, and you'd chant Hare Krishna, and we'd talk about Krishna for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and then we'd just move on, go drive to the next house. It would actually be a wonderful program to have. Of course, Melbourne's a lot more spread out than Christchurch, which is quite small, but in an area probably do that on a Saturday or something, visit quite a number with all the devotees in that area, or other devotees coming together and visiting, getting a bus or something, and traveling together. We called it an echo tour. Which echo, E-C-O. Everyone come over. In other words, everyone come over to my house and chant Hare Krishna. That was the mood of it. So there's two clips from that. They're short, but I wanted to explain what was going on about that. So now here's this little slideshow. Turn off the backlights, please. This is a dust jacket from Prabhupada's original Bhagavatam. Entering the material realm. For one who sees me everywhere. Now, if a Sanskrit verse comes on, we'll say it together, and we'll read all the English together too. Yo mam pashyati sarva sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami satyame na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Because there is no place where Krishna does not exist. Almighty Om Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. And this is the business of every embodied soul, be it a human body or a tree body, trying to somehow or another enjoy in the material world. Spirit covered by matter in different bodies. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Interesting to think of this as a tree's body. Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam Shri Marujatamevava Tattariva Vagarcha Tvam Mama Tejo Angsa Sambhava. Know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Bijamam Sagavutanam, O son of Krita, know that I am the original seed of all existences. Savakarana Karanam. Jivanam Savabhuteshu, I am the life of all that lives. We want to give credit to the original creator, not to the imitator. And that original creator is Krishna. And that's our service in life. The driver thought, he said at the end, that this was the best bus tour he had. Of course, we fed him a lot of prasadam from every house. It's our little slideshow. It was so much fun. So how this connects with our class is that maybe just hit the escape button and we'll be how this connects with our class is that Krishna is everywhere. In every circumstance, in everything, there is no place in its beginning, middle, and end, there is no place where he is not. And that means that he's also there in life's reverses and difficulties and even in disasters. But it's much easier to appreciate him in the form of a flower than it is when you're in a difficult circumstance. But yet, difficult circumstances, they will come, they do come, they must come. So how to capture the essence of the gift of that circumstance, regardless of how difficult it is in many ways what we're going to be discussing. How to see Krishna in every circumstance and hold tightly to his lotus feet. Okay. We'll end here. If there's any questions, perhaps we could turn on the light now. Because it's already 9 o'clock, and we so hope you will, if you're yet to take prasadam, and then take rest, and chant Hare Krishna very sincerely and nicely, and be on time and awake for all the different events of tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we'll see you tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Krishna willing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Yes.